Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Monday, April 13th, 2015. And on today's podcast, we're going to discuss President Obama's trip to the Summit of the Americas, held this year in Panama City, Panama, where he had a one-to-one sit-down with Cuban leader Raul Castro. The Summit of the Americas has never before been a venue for reconciliation between these nations because Cuba has always been persona non grata at the meeting. As a result, not much was ever accomplished. The American administrations paid very little attention to these summits, but Saturday, April 11th, President Obama and Raul Castro sat down in a small room with two chairs side by side and made history. In over 50 years, no American president has shaken hands with or spoken directly with a Castro. The president said that the meeting put them on, quote, a path toward the future. Well, let's hope that it does that, folks. Obama was quoted as saying, quote, over time, it is possible for us to turn the page and develop a new relationship between our two countries, end quote. The immediate task, then, is to start the process by reopening embassies in Havana and Washington, D.C. Their meeting dominated the news from the 35-nation summit of the Americas. They met for only 1 hour, but as I said, it was an historic hour. In a later news conference, both sides expressed optimism. Mr. Castro said, quote, we are willing to discuss everything, but we need to be patient, very patient. We might disagree on something today on which we could agree tomorrow. The president said that he was, quote, optimistic that we'll continue to make progress and that this can indeed be a turning point, end quote. The two leaders said they have very different views on how society should be organized. The president said he promised he would not stop talking about human rights, free expression, and freedom of the press. Well, let's hope he starts doing more than just talking about them. Most of Latin America mended fences with Cuba decades ago, so the American position has been a source of constant irritation for the other summit members. Assuming his deal with Iran is completed, President Obama can count Cuba, along with Iran, on his legacy-building resume. Cuba will be much easier for him to get through Congress for just a few reasons. Cuba is not building nuclear weapons. Cuba is not threatening the existence of Israel. Cuba is not trying to conquer the Arabian Peninsula. But the Cuba deal has plenty of enemies in Congress, just nothing like the enemies the Iran deal has. President Obama was upbeat and even funny as he spent 4 days touring the Latin American region. He named a long list of problems and threats and said he would have to go a long way down that list of threats before he got to Cuba as a threat. In fact, President Obama is going to remove Cuba from the U.S. State Department's official list of state sponsors of terrorism. This is more than just a symbolic step toward normalization. The designation was just a holdover relic from the past. The United States in 1979 set up the list of state sponsors of terrorism. It was intended to punish regimes for their alleged role in terrorist activities. The United States has a much longer list of foreign terrorist organizations. Both lists mean sanctions, bans on exports, and arms sales, along with measures intended to punish business and commerce. There are now only 4 state sponsors of terrorism: Cuba, Iran, Syria, and Sudan. Cuba has been on the list since 1982. Castro allegedly gave sanctuary to several fugitives wanted by the United States for terrorist activities. Iran went on the list in 1984 after the bombing of the Marine barracks in Beirut by an Iranian proxy, Hezbollah. It's hard to see how Iran could remain on the list if the nuclear deal goes through. It's obvious, though, that there are far worse terrorists than these in the world. Pakistan, for example, a long-standing U.S. ally and a nuclear-armed country. Saudi Arabia, also a longtime ally, has financed more terroristic jihadist groups than any other nation on earth. So it's politics. And the list needs to be updated. By the way, folks, what about North Korea? Removed from the list in 2008 after they gave, quote, assurances and received U.S. aid. In conclusion, Raul Castro's speech to the assembled countries, excuse me, folks, was vintage Castro. He pounded the table, spoke for an hour, complaining of U.S. oppression and the Bay of Pigs and so forth, U.S.-sponsored terrorism against Cuba. Then he apologized to President Obama for expressing himself so emotionally. Quote, President Obama has no responsibility for this. There were 10 presidents before him. All have a debt to us, but not President Obama. I have read his books, at least parts of them, and I admire his life, end quote. Finally, folks, the word Mr. Castro used, a debt to us, they owe a debt to us, is an ominous expression. I hope no Marshall Plan for Cuba is in the works. However, I welcome this meeting. It's about time. At least that's the way I see it, folks. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.